Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, and today I have with me...
Jared Hull.
Brandon Brim.
Destiny Raina Brim.
Hannah.
And this is Family. And we are saying how good it is to be with you at Christmas time and how good we get to be together. Actually, we're kind of having our Christmas right now in the Thanksgiving time period with Brandon and Destiny, because they're going to be out there eating tamales on Christmas.
That's right.
So we're looking here, and I'm going to read because of something Hannah said about Mary, and then I'll get you to talk about those thoughts you had about her. Brother Hagin said to me one time when I was working for Kenneth E. Hagin, he said, "Now, when you're going to be here at the end of an age, you're going to live at an age changing." And he said, "It's not going to be like you just everything, you know, you step across a log and everything changes all at once." He said, things from that age will begin to slip into this one. He talked about angels. He said there will be a lot more appearance of angels because angels attended Jesus' first coming. And we have, of course, the angel that came to Zechariah and Elizabeth and told them they were going to have a child, John the Baptist. And then here, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. I think that is so telling. He's up in heaven at the right hand of God and he says, "Go to Nazareth." So, you know, there's a point. I mean, he had a beeline to Nazareth. And he was sent from God to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph in the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly," he didn't say hail, he said shalom. "Shalom, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yeshua. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit," and he would have said, "Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit, the Holy, shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore shall that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judea, and entered into the house of Zechariah, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, which would be John the Baptist, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she gave forth the word of the Lord. So Hannah was talking a little bit, thinking about Mary, and how much that we do honor her. And what were you saying when we were not on the air yet?
That she, because for her, they didn't believe that she did not, you know, before she was married, that she, you know, was pregnant, and that was like a disgrace in their that time era to be pregnant before she was married. And they stone her. That's part of their
they
law
could have.
Is to stone. Mm-hmm. And and even the angel had to go visit Joseph because he wanted, you know, he was going to not let them stone her, but he wasn't going to be with her mm-hmm. until the angel came to tell him that she was telling the truth. But I just thought how much that she could not care what, you know, people think. Regardless, she knows she's doing the right thing, that she's doing what God's told her to do, regardless of what people were thinking about her, you know, if she was sleeping around with people, what she
wasn't. That's the ultimate, when you say, I mean, you still have to face that. When God asks you to do something, you still have to face what do people think and what do people say. Nothing about that changed. But of course, that was the ultimate. But
I mean, she was birthing the Messiah.
That's right.
And she was dealing with that. How much more, you know?
Yeah, how much more is that?
What could it be? You can't get any more important than that. And no. She's still dealing with that issue.
Yeah. But she was required to have obedience and faith, no matter what she was doing.
That's really good. I heard this quote before, and I think about it a lot. But it goes like this: don't let anyone kill your effectiveness.
Yes.
And she could have, you know, what? Oh, man, what was going on? But she didn't let that happen. She heard the word from the Lord, and she kept going on. And it's just really powerful. That's in there, you know, it's a great example for us to live by.
That's right.
And to, you know, see what she did, and it really ministers to me a lot.
And then you think about what she had to face when she watched him on that cross. So, praise the Lord. To get our salvation to us, it has taken a lot of people. And all along the way, those people that carried the message, or she carried the messenger. She carried the message, all right. She carried the word of God, because the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But I want to talk about, I wrote a Christmas letter, and we're going to kind of use that Christmas letter as a guide where we're going. If you're on our mailing list, you'll get the Christmas letter. But I began by saying that I want to resend an article that I sent several years ago, Why Jesus Said That He Came. And I started off by talking about how much I like Christmas. I really like Christmas. Christmas is a joy to me. And especially since the day when I saw a single silver imitation icicle lying on the window casement of a Russian home where we were holding an underground church service in January 1981. The incriminating icicle had been missed in the cleaning up of evidence that Christmas had been celebrated in that house. For celebrating Christmas carried an automatic 5-year prison term in Soviet Russia. Since that day, I make it a point to enjoy to the fullest the bright lights and tinsel we can display so freely. It is in honor of his birth, whether people acknowledge it or not. And that's easy to enjoy in Branson, but we start celebrating Ozark Christmas from October the 1st. But I remember sitting in that house, and we would have to sneak to the underground services. Now, all these kids here, they knew that Mimi was going to Russia to the underground church, and they actually thought that we were under the ground. But we weren't underground. We were in apartments or houses. And I remember every so often you would look out the window to see if anybody had followed you. The blinds were all drawn, you know, when you were having a Christian service. Because if they came in, what was the crime was if you had children in the service. And if you had children in the service, the minister and the children's parents had to go 5 years to jail for having a child in that service where you were teaching about Jesus. So they went to great lengths to be baptized because they always wanted to be wearing white. They would sneak out into the rivers and they'd all wear white. And sometimes the KGB would find them out there and haul them off to jail for doing baptism. But one thing you couldn't do was have a Christmas service. So they had had a Christmas in that house, and they had had those, you know, those real little old-fashioned icicles that we used to hang on the trees. There was one lying in the window, and I knew. I looked out the window to see if anybody was out following us, and I thought, that has been left here, and somebody didn't get it picked up. And it could have been used as evidence, an icicle, to send them to jail for 5 years. So when I came home after that, I thought, no more griping, no more complaining. I'm not going to listen to anybody that fusses about Christmas. I don't even care if they say, well, it's all a commercial. I don't care. Even if it is commercial, we do it because he came. Right. And it shouts out to the world every year, Jesus came with bright lights. He came, and he's coming again. And even peddlers of gloom who run around saying, well, you know, December 25th is a pagan holiday. We don't want to celebrate a pagan holiday. We can't be sure Jesus was born on December 25th. But I believe that there's a reason that we celebrate December 25th as a valid holy day. And that word holiday comes from holy day. The days that are marked off as holy, as separated from all the other days, by God in the Leviticus 23 God calendar, eventually came to be called holidays, H-O-L-I-D-A-Y-S. They are holy days. They are set apart days. So I believe that December 25th is a valid holy day, a valid day that we should celebrate on this day. Even though we don't have it right down in the New Testament, celebrate on this day, I believe we do it for a good reason. First, the reason I do is that everything about Jesus' life had something to do with a moed on God's calendar. You've probably heard me teach about moeds, M-O-E-D. It's an appointed time, an appointed fixed date. And in Leviticus 23, God said to Moses, tell the people, these are my moeds. And he marks out a calendar of redemption, the holy calendar of redemption, with seven holy dates on it. Three very main ones. And those three main ones are Passover, Pesach. Jesus was the Passover lamb. The next one is we call Pentecost, Shavuot. That's when Jesus, the Passover lamb, had prepared through his blood for his followers to be holy. And then on Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit. So if he is the Passover lamb, and that he then fulfilled that feast, and he fulfilled the Feast of Unleavened Bread and other feasts, every single thing about his life and was marked as one of the moeds on God's calendar. If he was the Passover lamb, if he prepared the people, and on Pentecost they received the Holy Ghost. I also believe that at his second advent, when he came the first time, it's called the first advent. At his second advent, he will set up the kingdom, the earthly kingdom, on the joyous feast when all the harvest is in. And that is the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot. Why would not his birth have been on a moed? I believe it was on a moed. And tomorrow we shall find out when that moed is. You won't want to miss it. And this is Billy Brim and family here saying that we're so glad that you took time to listen to us and be with us. And by the way, all these radios are archived. They're archived on billybrim.org, BilleyBrim.org. You can go there and you can listen to this week's broadcast, and you might really want to listen tomorrow because it's probably going to be move a little fast for you to register in your mind, and you might want to listen to it over and over. Billy Brim and family saying, Shalom, shalom until tomorrow.